Props today. I'm going to use some props that I hope you'll be able to see what I'm talking about. Because we started off this back over in Peter, the time has now come, the judgment must begin in the house of the Lord. And we drew these pictures up here about the creation and about the tabernacle and the administration of death and the burial and the resurrection and the three tabernacles, the tabernacle of Moses, the tabernacle of David, the tabernacle of Solomon. And, just drawing those pictures up on the board to try to give you a little bit of a visual. I was thinking about what Denise said and what Elaine said about forgiveness. And I used to always think, and I didn't understand forgiveness. It was a long time until I didn't understand forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of these judgment things, too. Forgiveness comes right out of judgment. What do you mean forgiveness comes out of judgment? I thought forgiveness meant no judgment. You just forgive them. Well, I used to think, Lord, I'm trying to forgive them, but they keep stealing from me. And I'm trying to love them more and more and more, and it ended up being a condemnation, and it ended up being worse and worse and worse. And this one scripture, gosh, I quoted this scripture 10,000 times. I didn't write it. They wrote it. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And we say, well, God forgave them. Well, yes, he forgave them. And, I read the Lord's Prayer. If you forgive not, and then they won't forgive, and God will forgive you and all these. And I'm thinking, of all the daggone things to put on a man, now you want to put this weight of forgiveness on there. Now listen, I can forgive somebody I like. Oh, you messed up, it's okay. To dirty, rotten scoundrels that I don't much care for. I'm just, throwing that out there for you. So what do we do? Do we get real religious? Well, that's where I went with it. I tried to get real religious. And even, as Elaine was talking about ourselves, how do you forgive yourselves? Because if you put it all right down, you're the most rotten scoundrel that ever lived. Right?
Amen.
We got one truth sayer in the building. Because I'm just saying, guys, when you get alone with yourself, you realize you are the... So how do you forgive yourself? Did Paul walk in forgiveness? Yes, he did. Did he walk around and say, Jesus made me clean? Jesus cleaned me all up? Now I'm the righteous man? No! He walked around saying, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. And we've been on this thing in Galatians. So that's how Paul was forgiven. That's how the Lord forgive you. By putting away your life and giving you another. Wow. And see, that's the forgiveness. So when I'm talking forgiveness, I'm not saying, well, Clyde stole $100 off of me. Now I got to forgive him. But I'm always thinking, guard your billfold around him. I forgive Christ, I forgive Clyde in the same manner as Paul said, we thus judge. If one died, all died. You see that? That puts us right back, and I'm saying, there we go. We were talking about this on Wednesday night. You cannot bring a Christian, I'm talking a Christian, a born-again believer who have received Christ. You didn't receive a piece of Christ. You received all of Christ. And when one begins to see that, you cannot bring a Christian into bondage. What do you mean you can't bring him into bondage? Because you don't have a life to bring into bondage. You don't have a life that has to answer to anything anymore because your life is put away or forgiven. Your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Why? Because he doesn't look down and say, oh, Denise, you really blew it today. I've got to forgive you again. Jesus, you need to go back to the cross. And read the Hebrew writer. He suffered once, not as the high priest who would have offered himself often, many times, over and over and over. But he says, once and for all, put away all sin, which was you and me, and gave you the life of another. Wow, that's living the forgiven life. Why? Because it ain't my life anymore. It's the life of another that liveth in me. This was the mystery, guys, that was hidden from the ages, now revealed unto the saints, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, man, I love that. I love that. That, I mean, that's what he's saying, the hope of glory. This is not a glory to come. What he's telling them right there is the expectation has been realized, which is what? Christ in you. My God, you're his very body. He doesn't have another body. Do you realize that? When he got up out of the grave, just the head didn't get up. The body got up with him. And if the body got up, you already have the victory.
Yes.
Give us the victory. Not going to give us the victory. In him we live and move and have our being in victory. Paul says, you know, I'm not one that beateth the air, runs a race. Well, I mean, you know, when you run a race, why do you run? You know, we went to the ball game yesterday. Why? We went out there to win. Most Christians are trying to win. And Paul is saying, my God, the race is already run. You've already come to Mount Zion. Christ is already in you. Now turn to see him. This only comes about by judgment. Taking away one, establishing another. That's already been done. I come to do thy will. Let me read you a couple of scriptures here. Hebrews 7. Chapter 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood. He's talking about law. If perfection, if completeness, if wholeness came by the Levitical priesthood, by the law, by the things that were done. For under it the people received the law. Then what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? So if my perfection or your perfection came under that system, any of that system, guys, any of that system, then we wouldn't have had another priest come after the order of Melchizedek. We would have just had another one after Aaron, and we would have perpetuated that priesthood. That's what Christianity's done today. They perpetuated the priesthood of Aaron, because you go into the churches and they prop up this law. They'll say, grace, but then you must do this or do that. And we say, no, that's not true. We're under grace. Guys, it's not. It's not. We were, well, I better say that. I'm going to tell you what I thought. I grew up in a grace church. Every one of you thought you grew up in a grace church, but just as I told you a minute ago, what must you do to be a part of the grace church? You got to go love everybody and got to forgive everybody. My God, I tried, Kathy. I love those that love me back and those that I had in common with, but those that I didn't have in common with, I thought lesser than me, those bums. I didn't love them. Oh, I said I did. Acted like I did, and really tried to, as Clyde said. But I didn't. I couldn't. And this is the thing about it. The Lord brought me to this thing, Denise, that I realized I could not. No matter how hard I tried. And I began to cry out, Roger, Lord, I can. And he said, finally. Good. The law has done its service. That's why I put you under that burden. so that you would cry out, so that you would receive my son, who is the fulfillment of that law. I mean, this is the law. This is the law answered, Christ in you. I wish people would just go out and really try it and be truthful about it and go out there. And I see all these mushy, gushy TV shows and they're out there trying to love everybody. And I'm saying, all of y'all are a bunch of liars. You are. You got this mushy, gushy world out there. They live in some fantasy island world. They've never faced the harsh realities of it. Come on. Drug addiction, alcoholism. They never face the harsh realities when it really gets there. I love that when this woman came in and they said, if Jesus knew, if he's supposed to be a prophet, if he knew what manner of woman this was touching him. I just love what Jesus just turned around and said, I got somewhat to say to you. I got somewhat to say to you. And then he asked him about one was forgiven, 50 pence, and one was forgiven 500 pence. Who loved him more? The one that was what? Forgiven more. This goes right back to what? Forgiven more. I have no life but Christ. It's not Jesus trying to help me make it through. Jesus, give me a little bit of help so I can make it through the day. Guys, we've been brought into the eternal day himself. Don't even need no light there. He's the light thereof. For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity, a change also of the law. Now, guys, we went over this Wednesday. The law of sin and death was not the law of Moses. Wait a minute. I thought the law of sin and death was the law of Moses. No. The law of Moses, according to Paul in Romans, was holy and just and good. Go read it in Romans chapter 7. Paul said, but I am carnal. He said the law was spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul says, when the law of Moses came, I found another law in me. The law of sin and death working in my members, bringing me into bondage, causing me to cry out, oh wretched man that I am. Because the law of Moses, God demands righteousness. See, we don't think that. We think God used to be a God of judgment, and I hate everybody, and I'm killing them all. Guys, everything's all right. Guys, he hasn't changed one bit. The high and lofty one that inhabited the eternity, I'm God and I change not. He demands righteousness. So how do we bring all these things together? Righteousness, love, holiness, forgiveness. How do we mesh all these things together? God used to be mad. I used to think God was mad until Jesus died. Now God ain't mad. Jesus is a mediator holding God back so he don't bust me up. He's making intercession, right? How does our Christian mind say he's making intercession? In other words, he's up there begging God, saying, please don't kill Jim. I know he's a stupid idiot. Please don't kill him. Remember, I died for him. And God says, sorry, this time I'm going to let him pass. But next time. That's not what it means. He's not that kind of intercessor. That's not what that means at all. So how do we bring all these? See, the law of Moses that God gave them put them under a burden. It was a schoolmaster pointed. It says, what it says was, here's my demands. That's what the law of Moses is. It says, here's my demands. But the law of sin and death was already at work in Adam. Why? Because Adam had eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the law of sin and death was working in it. Put on him that says, I demand righteousness. The law of sin and death rose up in him and says, I'm going to try to answer that. And the law says, you're not it. You're not it. Nope, you're not it. Every demand that was put when Adam rose up, he says, you're not it. You're not it. It got everything. Every time they rose up, it just crushed them down. It says, you're not it. It was put as a weight on them so that they would receive him when he come. So that when Jesus came on the scene, to as many as would receive him. But what happened? The lust of the flesh had been kindled. The lust of the flesh, you know, the lust of the flesh wasn't, hey, I'm going to go out and go to a bar and chase women and all that. The lust of the flesh had rose up inside a man and says, you know what? I can meet the demands of the law. I can do it. Yeah. Guys, the lust of the flesh was alive and well in Paul. He says, you know what? I'm a Pharisee, a Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, as touching the law, blameless. Amen. Lust of the flesh, guys, he rose up and said, I can do it. But Paul said, even though I had met the demands, there was another law in me, a law of sin and death working in my members that caused me to cry out, man, it's not me. I'm in a body of death. Who shall deliver me from this body or from the body of this death? I'm wrapped up. I'm in bondage of this thing. There's no way out. And then it goes on to say, there's therefore now no condemnation. What do you mean there's no condemnation? I used to preach that here. You can't condemn me. Listen, Clyde said something last week that was astounding after service, and I got to share that with him. If he wasn't here, I would take all the credit for it. But he's here, and he knows he did it, so I can take no credit for it. But I like to take credit. So if you guys have something wise to say, text me. We were talking about that prisoner, right? We're talking about the prisoner. And we said, all right, you got 10 life sentences, and you're in jail. And you died while you're in jail. Well, as long as you're dead, I can go in and get the body, take the body out and burn the body, and we're done with you, right? But what happens if I bust up in the jail cell, Clyde's laying there dead, he's got 14 life sentences because he's a terrible person, and I resuscitate Clyde back to life? Is he free to go? Nope. He got 13 more to serve, don't he? What does Christianity want to do to you today? They want to get you raised back up. They want to resuscitate you. As long as you're living, you're in bondage. The grace of God says you live by the life of another. One that cannot be brought into bondage. Not I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. Let me just keep on reading here. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, which no man gave attendance to at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident. I wonder when people's come to this, that it's far more evident. Far more evident. Far more evident. For that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priesthood. Not after, because he said, perfection don't come in the Levitical priesthood. If it had, there wouldn't have been no need for another priesthood. If you could have reached your perfection, then why is it people today want you to have your perfection in the Levitical priesthood? This is why Paul wrote letters to the Galatians and the Corinthians and the Ephesians and the Colossians and the Philippians and to Timothy. Because every time he went to preach and he began to declare the doctrine. The doctrine which is all things fulfilled in Christ. All these Judaizers come back in and say, well, it may be fulfilled in Christ, but here's what you need to do now. If you'll be circumcised, if you will, see what I mean? Let me just keep on reading. Who is made not after a law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and profitableness thereof. Let me read that again. There is verily a disannulling. You know what disannulling means? Disannulling. We're doing away with it. Making void. Disannulling of the commandment. Why? For the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. Now see, people get scared because they don't preach Christ. And here's what happens. We get a congregation of church people. And we say, man, if I preach grace, I know how y'all are. Y'all going to go out and live like a bunch of heathens. So I'm going to preach grace, but I'm going to try to keep you under some sort of restrictions. We've got to keep the flesh in check, Clyde, so you're under grace, but you see what I mean? Because God forbid if you went out and said a cuss word. Oh, God. You Christians talk like that. Bunch of heathens. So we got to have some little bit of law in there to keep you in check. For the law made nothing perfect. Now this word here we're talking about, the law made nothing complete, nothing whole, nothing in fullness. How much did it make perfect? There's a word there, N-O-T-H-I-N-G. How much did the law make perfect? Nothing. No thing. But the bringing in of a better hope. I didn't read did because that's added. But the bringing in of a better hope. Now here's where we get off track, guys. We get off track saying, and I know I used to do this. I used to think, well, I got a better hope than you do, Roger. My religion's better than yours because I can get more saved. I got a better hope. Because he says, but I brought in a better hope. I brought in a better hope. So now I'm going to make it a thing again. Hope is a thing. Let me tell you what, there's only one hope of our calling. What is the hope? The hope is the expectation. Christ in you is the expectation. But the bringing in of a better hope, hope is a substance, guys. Hope is a name, and it's a name above every name. And it's a man's name. And it's a man's name that we live by. But the bringing in of, we could just say it this way, but the bringing in of Jesus did. You could say it the same way. A better expectation. By the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made a priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath. My Lord, I love that. This with an oath. By him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. I thought all this gift given and repent stuff was about me. This is about another. You see here, I'm just reading the scriptures here right out of the King James Bible. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. They died off, Clyde. They died off. One priest would come and another one, they would die, and another one would come and he would serve a long time and then he would die. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. See, we got something now that's unchangeable, unmovable. What is that? It's Jesus. Now remember here, I've got two priesthoods, right? I've been telling you, I've been talking about a Levitical priesthood and a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, right? I've been talking about two priesthoods. Well, guys, one of them's got to be put away, right? We can't have two. You guys, I don't know if you've ever been to court. Now, we have our Supreme Court that's got nine justices on it. But if you guys ever go to a court of law, how many judges are there? There's always only one. And let me tell you what, there's still only one. Only one judge. Two judges get in there. In other words, I get a judge of the Levitical priesthood, I get a judge of the Melchizedek order. One of them's got to go. Can't have two. All right, Hebrews 10, verse 7. Then said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above what he said, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. I'm in the same book. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first. What are we talking about now? We've been talking about a priesthood and the order of Levitical priesthood, and he takes it away. To do what? Establish the second. Well, I got two priesthoods. I got one of the Levitical order. I got one of the order of Melchizedek. One has to be removed. One is established. How's it done? Judgment. Go read Isaiah. Read all them scriptures. I will establish his house. How? Judgment. Judgment in what sense? Right or wrong? No. Judgment in that one is removed, one is established. See, in our Christianity, judgment is always right and wrong. Guys, he took care of that a long time ago. We thus judge. That's what Paul said. What? We thus judge. We thus judge. I'm right and everybody else is wrong. No, Paul said, we thus judge. If one died, all died. Not a bunch of right and wrong stuff. He took care of that. That was small potatoes. He takes away one, he establishes another. Now, I wrote this word down here. Now, you guys forgive me for being foolish. Well, not really. Because I'll continue to be foolish. I wrote some words down this morning. Real. Reality. Because we talk about this. What does it mean to be real? Because we talk about the reality of Christ. What does that mean? I got this out of the dictionary this morning. Dictionary. Real. R-E-A-L. Not a fishing reel. Real. What is real? And I got the definition here. It says actual or true, not imagined. Not artificial. Genuine. Authentic. It says relating to or consisting of permanent or immovable things, such as lands or buildings. Man, I love that definition. Let me read it again. Actual or true, not imagined, not artificial, genuine, authentic, relating to or consisting of permanent or immovable things, such as lands or buildings. Real. 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 So if I walk out here and look at that mountain over there and I say, is that mountain real? Everybody's going to say, yep. You know, let me get my props out. Y'all ready for some props? I got props. Y'all look, I got this out of my yard. I was going to beat Zach with it, but it wasn't big enough. You can have this, Ash, when I'm done with it. She's the one brought all of them kids in. It's my whole front row. It's all hers. So she plucked us off, she'll need this thing. But if I was asked somebody, I said, describe a branch. What's a tree branch? I want to know what a real branch is. And you brought me this branch, and I can grab a hold of it and feel it. And some of this falls in the floor, Patty will kill me. She's not here right now, so we're going to blame Olga again. But I grab a hold of this thing, and I can feel it. And I read the definition. It says actual. True. Let me go over this definition again right here. Because we're talking about real. Actual, true, not imagined. I'm not imagining this thing, Clyde. I got my hand on it. It's not artificial. This thing broke off a pine tree that is in my yard. It's genuine. It's authentic. It's not plastic. Consisting of permanent or removable things such as lands or buildings. So we look at this and we say, that's real. That's a real branch. Now see, this is where we go with all of this stuff, guys, because what we want to do is we want to take this and we want to move this over into some permanent place called heaven and all these other things, and we say, well, this is real. I want something real that I can grab a hold of. And we say, that's a branch. Do you know that, guys, this ain't real? This is not authentic. What do you mean? That's real wood? It's not imagined? Well, yeah, it is. This thing come out of the mind of God. And God said, behold my servant, the branch. He said, I'm going to put a whole bunch of branches down there that's going to testify of my servant. Now you can grab a hold of them branches and climb on them and swing on them and whip with them and burn them in a fire and all of these. But all of these is going to testify of the real branch itself. So all of this is just what, Roger? A type and shadow. It points to another who is the branch. So then this is not reality. This points to it. He says, yeah, grab a hold of this and love it. And I could just hear Jesus say, oh, you've held a branch in your hand. I can hear the prophet Zechariah saying, well, you guys know what a branch is. Now let me tell you about my servant, the branch. Because when God made this world, he made it to do what? Testify of his son. And one of the aspects of his son is being a branch. Now this thing here says it's not artificial, it's genuine, it's authentic, consisting of permanent, immovable things. I read that right out. Immovable. You know what immovable is? Can't be moved. You told me that mountain was real. Well, and heaven, I'm in Revelation 6:14, and heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. See, this was the difficulty that the Jews had in the days of Jesus. They looked at that natural temple and they said, man, that's real. The Levitical priesthood is real. It was given of God. And you know what? This branch was real and it was given of God. Served a purpose until when? Till the real branch showed up. When the real branch showed up, I don't have need of that anymore. Do you see what happened? What happened to the Jews was the real branch showed up and they said, we got this from God. And yes, they were right. They did get it from God. But it was to testify of the real branch and they wouldn't let go of that one and receive him. They held on to that. So now, guys, what does that make this? At one time, this had purpose. But when I hold on to this and not Jesus, this becomes evil. Yeah. This that was given of God, but now I want to hold on to the not real branch, it becomes evil. See, they had that trouble. They said, this tabernacle, 46 years in building. And you're going to tear it down and raise it up again in 3 days? He spake of what? His body. So this whole tabernacle here was what? It was type and shadow pointing to the person himself, whose body ye are, know ye not, ye are the temple of the living God, that he tore down and raised up again, he wounds, he tears down, and he heals, he makes alive. Already did it. How? In his, I said his, death, burial, and resurrection. Guys, when you received Jesus, you received this whole, you received him in his fullness. You step right out of a world of darkness, right into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son. Our problem is, Paul would say it this way, be renewed in your mind. Let me just keep on reading. I was reading this verse this morning. I'm in Revelation 6 and 17. For the great day of his wrath. I don't know if we got it up there. It must have went out. Okay, listen. For the great day of his wrath is come. I'm in Revelation 6 and 17. Who shall be able to stand? Now, how does Christians read that today? Well, these days his wrath is going to come, but this says his wrath is come. How did he come? He came in the form of a cross. I'll get back to that. I brought this rock out of my yard. I picked it up so I would hit it with a lawnmower. Here again, guys, we have a rock. A real rock that's dirty. I can peck on it. And I can throw this and stone somebody. And people would say, that's a real rock. It's not a styrofoam rock. It's a real rock. But is it real? See, it would be real if the end was in itself. If the end was in itself and that's all it was just a rock and it pointed to nothing else, then it would be real. But this rock is type and shadow. What do you mean it's type and shadow? Because it points to the rock. The rock that followed them all the way through the wilderness. The rock that the water came out of. And as Scripture says, I can pull it up and show you, that rock which is Christ. So this rock ain't real either. This rock points to the rock. I'm going to hurt your feelings now real bad. I got to be a sausage biscuit. You don't mind if I eat this right now, do y'all? I get crumbs everywhere up here, so I'll try not to. But I got my sausage biscuit. But on each end of the sausage biscuit is what? Bread. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We know this bread is real, guys. And this bread is what? This is bread that fell. This is the manna that came down from heaven. This is the golden pot of manna that was put into the ark itself. This is the bread that they eat all the time. And people are doing it in remembrance of Jesus. And they're taking this bread. And they're eating this bread. And this bread is real, right? Ain't this bread real? But Jesus told them, I'm the true bread. Oh, wait a minute, I thought this was the true bread. Jesus said, I am the true bread. He said, your fathers ate this every day in the wilderness and they all died. Now remember, guys, I'm doing away with the Levitical order. I'm doing away with everything of the first. He took away the first, then he may do what? Establish the second. This is all part of the first, ain't it? Because Jesus said, I am the true bread. And except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, have no part, have no life. But, I mean, Peter said, my God, where else could we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else could we go? There is no eternal life found there, only the testimony of it. So why do we want to hold on to that? When everything this pointed to is found in the fullness of Christ who lives in you. God, can you begin to see that and get a hold of that just a little bit? The solid foundation that I'm on. Who is the chief cornerstone? The rock in whom we're planted. What about the roof that's over our head? Who is the capstone the builders rejected? Oh, here's one though. Here's one you can't do nothing with. Fire. Fire is real. You're going to make me go back over into the Bible, aren't you? Hebrews 12:29. For our God is a consuming fire. So even the very fire is what? Points to what, guys? It points to what? The fire points to what? What do you do with the fire, guys? I grew up, we had a fire. And you know what we would do, guys? We would take wood and coal and put it into the fire. You guys ever have a fire? Take wood and coal and put it into the fire. What do I get out?
Ashes.
Ashes. I don't get wood and fire, wood and coal back out of there. This is the beautiful thing of judgment. He says, because I'll do what? I'll give you beauty. For ashes. All of this is what? Done away. Taken away. How? In the consuming fire that is. And what are you giving in return? Beauty. The beauty of Him. The beauty of Him. I know I had some more here. You know, Jesus came to do what? Send fire on the earth. Why? I'm going to judge all them and I'm going to show them. Come send fire on the earth. What will it already be kindled? It was dry. It was what? He had to take it away. Why? That he might establish the second. Scripture says his eyes was like a flames of fire. Wait a minute. We were talking about a mountain there a minute ago. Everybody knows this scripture. Every good Christian knows this. You'll say to yonder mountain, be cast into the sea. And it will, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed. So now what do we do, Roger? We go out and we try to get our own faith. And we come up next to the mountain and we pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And the stinking mountain is still there. And then we say, God, if I could just have a little bit more faith. And we try to get it. Paul says, you know what, guys? I'm not dumb enough to live by my own faith. He says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Oh, God, I don't even have to have my own faith. See what liberating it is? It's His faith. He's made unto me all that He is, including faith. And where do we come into this? It's about beholding Him as all things. When I see that branch, you know, I used to wonder about them leaves, and I think the leaves of the trees up on the hill of the nation. I didn't realize, my God, He's the root. He's the trees, the branch of the trees, the leaves of the tree. He's the fruit of the tree. He's the whole tree. What are we? We're just the daggone vessel. We're just the branch that the sap flows through. Talk about them mountains that ain't movable. Let me just throw this verse here at you. The second angel sounded up in Revelation 8:8, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. A great mountain burning with fire. Where do we see this great mountain burning with fire? This mountain. Jesus said, if you'll say to this mountain, what mountain was he talking to? He's talking to Mount Sinai. There must be a disannulling of that whole priesthood. Everything that come from that mountain as got to be done. And then when the second angel sounded, what did he see? That mountain was burning on fire, cast into the sea. But in Hebrews, he said, you ain't come to that mountain that cannot be touched. But you have come to Mount Zion. John would say this about the mountain. We've touched and we've handled, we've tasted and we've seen of the Lord who is that mountain. He's the rock that was hewn out of the mountain without men's hands that dashed in pieces the first image. Done away with it. He takes away the first. Establishes the second. You see? Let me go. Because we were talking about this fire. What is this fire? Let me give you this, and I won't keep you much longer. I got stuff here. Well, let me go give you this one. 2 Peter. Maybe these things will make more sense to you guys. I don't know. That's what we're trying to do. 2 Peter chapter 3. Man, this is the one that always scared me. Really. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. So think about that. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The day. Let's just think of life. I don't know about you guys, but if it was 2 o'clock in the morning, sometimes I get called out to work on the railroad 2 o'clock in the morning. It's pitch black dark. If all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, at 2 o'clock in the morning, it started getting daylight, I'd be aware. And I'd start repenting right then, wouldn't you? Oh, Lord, here comes the day. Oh, Lord, in the night. You see what I'm talking about? Because we try to make it all natural. The day of the Lord in the night. Thief in the night. Let me just keep on going. In which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements with fervent heat. The earth also, the works that are therein, shall be burned up. The elements. The elements. The elements. I wonder what those elements are. Those elements. Look here. Those elements. Everything of the first. Everything of the heavens and the earth. Everything. Those elements being on fire. Why didn't he just burn a little bit of them? Because this he spake of his death. This whole thing testified of him. And he was burned and put away. What do you mean he was burned and put away? The fire's a cross, and I'm going to show you. The wrath of God, the fire of God, it's the cross. It's his cross. 3 Hebrew children, the fire heated. That was type and shadow of the cross. Because you're dead, and what? Your life is hid with Christ in God. You see what I mean? Yeah, you come by way of the fire. You can just like Noah. Noah went right through the judgment too. But Noah and all of his were saved. And the Hebrew children were saved. And just like you and me, we come right through the midst of the fire, but don't even come out smelling like smoke. And there's liberty in the fire, isn't there? I saw 3 men loosed. See, people want liberty today, but they don't want the fire. Where did he see them loosed? In the fire. I saw 3 men loosed. He saw 4 men. One likened to the Son of God. But I saw them loose walking around. You can't be loose without the fire. The fire is the cross. I'm going to show you. The elements burn up with fervent heat. Everything of this first is burnt up. Everything. What? Because there must be a disannulling. Had to be a taking away of the whole thing. And how are we going to do it? We got to do it by fire. Because I told you, everything that goes in by fire, you don't get it back. You put your wood in there, you put your sacrifice in there, you put everything in there, what happens? There ain't nothing left but ashes. I'll give you beauty for ashes. He's that beauty. So he takes away. That's why Paul would say, man, I'm crucified to the world. The world is crucified to me. My God. This was a judgment that had taken place. Paul walked around and he was in prison. You know, I was thinking about the scripture the other day, and I just, here is Paul in the depths of prison. Midnight hour. He began to pray and sing songs. And the Lord just hit me with this Thursday. Do you know how many times I've been in that prison praying for the Lord to release me? I'm going to tell you what, Paul wasn't praying for the Lord to let him out, because Paul wasn't in that prison. Paul wasn't saying, oh God, get me out of here. No. Paul said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. You can lock me up, put me in the depths of this thing, but I'm not your prisoner. I don't have a life for you to put in bondage. So he was not praying for God to open up the depths. If so, he would have run out of there. If he was praying for God to let him loose, when the doors opened up of that prison, he would have run out. But the guard of that prisoner said, oh my goodness, I'm going to be put to death. All my prisoners have escaped. Paul says, we're still here. Still here, brother, because you ain't got me in this prison. Just come on in. I think Paul was praying for something. I think his prayer was answered, because salvation came to that man's house. Let your son be revealed. See what I mean? It's all different. It's all different. You can see the fire will burn up some, but some will be saved by fire. Oh, I don't even know where we're at. Elements burn up by heat. Elements burn up by heat. And you know, how did they come out of Egypt? Cloud by day. Pillar. A fire by night. Pillar of fire by night. What is that pillar of fire, guys? You reckon he was setting a picture of the cross right before them? And they were going by way of the cross? My God, that's why he told them, you've not been this way before. You've never come by way of the cross before. But when you see that cross, now, brothers and sisters, now we can begin to move. When you see that cross, this is the same thing with Moses. When Joshua and them went down to battle, Moses went out there. When Moses held his hands up, they had victory. Yeah. When Moses put his hands down, they began to lose. So what happened? Moses got tired. Moses sat down on a rock. You see what I mean? Seated together with him in heavenly places. And what happens? Aaron and Ur got on both sides and held his hands up. And as long as they did that, the children of Israel had the victory. As long as the cross was presented to them in their view, they walked in victory. What was that victory? I'm crucified with Christ. He is my life. As long as that view is there, they walked, they rested in the victory. But as soon as it got down to, you need to start doing this, and you need to start doing this, and Moses, get up off the rock and come over here and help me, the enemies encompassed them about them and closed them in. Let me just keep going. The elements burn up. Now look, I told you that cross was the fire. Let me just show you something here in Joshua 7:15. Joshua 7:15. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. He and all that he hath. So in other words, if somebody partakes of the cursed thing according to the law, what I got to do with him? I got to burn him. I got to take him out and burn him. Not only him, everything he's got. That's part of the law, given of God, right? I mean, I'm reading out of Joshua 7:15. All that he had, because he's transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So anybody that becomes cursed, partakes of the cursed thing, has to be burnt with fire. It's law, Roger. I didn't write it. It's God's law. Not only him, but all that he has. saw this, guys. Paul saw this. Paul saw this. Paul saw it all summed up in a man. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Oh, how did he do that? Being made a curse for us. I just read to you, anyone that's cursed has to be what? Burned with fire. Where do you think he was burned at? Right there on the cross. Right there on the cross. When he says this, let me just read you a little bit here. Psalms 22. Psalms 22. I'm just throwing all these scriptures out at you guys. I ain't even making no sense, probably. Psalms 22. Verse 14. I am poured out like water. This is a psalm of Jesus being crucified. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. The elements melted with fervent heat. We're talking about the cross when he takes away the first. Establishes the second. How? In the risen. See what God has wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Set him down at his own right hand, far above all principalities and powers, and made him to be the head over the church, which is his body, which he is the fullness that fills that whole thing. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. This is Jesus, guys. The cross is the wrath of God. It's the fire of God all poured out on him right there. And where were you at? If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. My life was burned up in that fire, Roger. And you know what? Your life was burned up in that fire too. And everything that you think is your life now is nothing but a mere shadow. It's not reality. The only reality there is Jesus Christ is your life. The rest of it is burned up in the fire. Now let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind is that? His mind. But we have the mind of Christ. Trying to go out here and grab a hold of reality and call these things real. Paul said, to be found in him, not having anything of my own. Righteousness, he's my righteousness. Love, he's my love. Life, he's my life. Joy, he's my joy. Peace, he's my peace. Holiness, he's my holiness. Paul said, anything that I bring into this, let it be accursed. Anything I bring into it, let it be accursed. Go read about Achan and what he brought into the camp. He brought the accursed thing into the camp. And what did Joshua say? Get the cursed thing out and burn it. Take it back to the cross. Because there's an ever-burning fire that's always standing there where the worm dies not. My God, nothing dies. This fire ain't going out. Why? Because God is a consuming fire. And this fire that separates everything that stands there, and the Egyptians are bound by the fire. The Egyptians can come no farther. Because God put a fire between them and his people. God put a cross between them and his people. And he says to the preachers, to sit down and put that view out there. And they'll walk in victory as long as they got their eyes on that cross. But when they take their eyes off the cross and put it right back on themselves, the enemies will close them around. Let me give you one last verse. I'm in Psalms 21. I believe it's Psalms 21. Yeah, 21 verse 8. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. This is a Psalm of David, but this testifies to Jesus. He says, you know what? I'm going to find out all my enemies. I'm going to find out all my enemies. I'm going to find them all out. I'm going to destroy all my enemies. I'm going to destroy every one of them. Wonder who he was talking about. Roger, I'm going to tell you who he's talking about. He's talking about Adam. Adam was his enemy because Adam says, if we eat of this tree, we'll be like God. We'll go ahead and take his place. We won't need Jesus. We'll just step right on in and we'll be it. He says, Paul says, you know what? That's the law of sin and death that was working in my members. My God, I thought it was all about me. Everybody's running around today talking about Israel, talking about this, thinking it's all about them. No, the remnant is Jesus himself. It's all about him. He says, I'm going to find out all my enemies. And here's what I'm going to do to them. I lost my page. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. And if I be lifted up, I'm going to do what? I'm going to draw all men. I'm going to draw all the enemies unto myself. And I'm going to put them away. And Paul got this. And Paul says this. And this, I promise you, it's the last one. Paul says this. He is our peace. I'm in Ephesians 2:14. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Guys, if you make peace, you've done away with the enemies, right? You can't have enemies. He's done away with them. And here's the thing about it. Thou preparest a table before me where at? In a peaceful land, in a peaceful place. Oh, in the presence of mine enemies. The presence of mine enemies. Let me just keep on reading. That he might reconcile both unto God. Both what? Jew and Gentile. Enemies. Both Jew and Gentile were his enemies. But I'm going to reconcile both unto God. How's that? In one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity. In other words, he drew Jew and Gentile. He drew all of his enemies into himself. That's what he said in Psalms. I'm going to raise them up to myself and I'm going to destroy them. Jew and Gentile in what? One body, by the cross. Guys, go read Hebrew Children. And you'll see they were all destroyed. What does you mean all destroyed? Hebrew Children were destroyed too. Because there was one took their place. I saw one like to the Son of Man standing there. But what happened to the people that threw them into the fire? They were burned up too. Just like Noah, guys. Noah was destroyed in that ark. He come out as a new creation, Roger. That was all type and shadow. That's the way it was. Having slain the enmity thereby. Let me tell you something, guys. God ain't fighting a battle. God ain't got no enemies. There's a fiery cross that sits there and says, you'll come no farther. Now, this element right here that he burned up, everything that he put away, is still going on. People are grabbing hold of it, and they're holding it and saying, this is real, this is real. But to us who have been born again, we've been translated out of that, brought into this other kingdom where he has made unto us all that he is. You know, this guy, he gave me this thing here the other day. I never seen this. This is the verse that we went over. I lied to you. I said, I wasn't going to read no more scriptures. I lied. Forgive me. Forgive me, Ashley. Just forgive me. This verse right here, guys, you'll probably think it's a nothing verse. Just a verse to be skipped over and read over. Nothing. But this verse so has just been laying there working in me. I'm in Galatians 2 and 3. Just a common verse. A verse with no great spiritual significance. Okay? No great big words. No all these other things. It says, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And what the heck are you going to do with that verse? I mean, come on. That verse ain't got no big, great revelation to us, but I'm telling you why the Lord's been working with me 2 weeks on this verse. Let me just give you a little brief history. Here's Titus, guys. Titus was a Gentile. Titus wasn't circumcised. Wasn't compelled to be circumcised. Paul was of the circumcision. But now he says, Titus is with me. you understand what I'm telling you? At one time, Paul would have nothing to do with anybody who wasn't circumcised. But now he says, look, Titus ain't circumcised. In other words, he says, our fellowship ain't bound up in these outward observances. Now, let me just go a step farther here, guys, because I was just thinking about what we talked about Wednesday night. We were talking about praying. Matter of fact, what we were talking about was praying after you eat or praying before you eat, saying grace. Now, just bring this around to anything, guys. Bring it around to baptism. Bring it around to communion. Bring it around to doctrines. Bring it around to anything. Here's Paul saying, see Titus right here? Titus ain't circumcised. Let me say it this way. Titus don't say grace. Titus don't say grace. He was never even taught grace. But yet he's with me. Because our fellowship ain't in saying grace. Titus, he wasn't baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But yet he's with me. See what I'm talking about? Titus has never took communion. But yet he's with me. Titus don't even speak in tongues, but he's with me. See what I'm talking about, guys? We're baptized into one body. It don't matter if they say grace or if they don't. It don't matter what name they've been baptized in. It don't matter. It's just one body. And guys, I'm looking at all these other Christians who are, but we're on the doctrine of the transubstantiation. We're on the doctrine of the eternal salvation. We're on the doctrine of the eternal fall. We're on the doctrine of the, Paul says, Titus, he ain't none of that, but he's with me. You know what, guys? Every one of these people that are out here, everyone that is put out in all these other churches of just one church, and they may be of this doctrine, they may be of that doctrine, but it matters not, because our fellowship, our union is found in one place, in the branch, in the rock, in the living water, in the tree of life. And my God, that's the only thing to preach, is to come and see a man. Just come and see a man. You want to see? Let's don't preach doctrines. Let's don't get off on all that stuff, because they'll just divide us. You know they will. They'll divide us. This one says this, and then this one says this and does this. Just come and see a man, because that's where our fellowship is.